Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, cloudy, chance for some showers, maybe thunderstorms, and a high again around the mid-70s. Kenosha, 62 degrees at this hour, 64 in Burlington, 63 in Milwaukee, 62 in Racine. Members of the Racine Common Council, along with the city's redevelopment authority, learning about the proposed multi-use event center on the lakefront and the new estimated price tag of $55 million versus the $43 million to $49 million suggested earlier, the new number based more on the details in the Phase 1 study. Also, there's a taxpayer component. It would be just under $12 a year for 30 years based on a $100,000 home. Consultant SB Friedman President Steve Friedman explained that almost $40 million would involve bonding. That's just one component, though, he said, to a multi-layered financing proposal.
We're proposing a ticket surcharge, a small ticket surcharge that will be applied to each ticket at each event, and which would then go into the capital fund. And this is a type of revenue source that's very common for event centers and other public assembly facilities. If you bought tickets other places, you see layer after layer of tickets, of taxes and surcharges, every one of which annoys every one of you.
City Administrator Jim Palahniuk indicating the layered approach needed in the financing of a very complex project over a 30-year period said that even the Intergovernmental Revenue Sharing Fund would be involved. There's one model that appears kind of better than others in terms of the financing.
One of the most important catalytic things you could possibly do is use a substantial amount of these funds for the remaining 17 years that are left. We're saying $800,000 a year. Now, obviously, in that amount, there is a decision for you all because there's an opportunity cost. If you use $800,000 a year of these funds of $1.7 million, you'll have about $900,000 a year remaining for additional kinds of economic development.
Mayor John Dickert, who's going to be resigning in the coming weeks, suggested slowing things down to the project team and creating an advisory committee.
Something that this council has asked about and the public has asked about it repeatedly, where's the private sector in this situation. So I think right now it's really slowing down the process to start incorporating more of the council's thoughts and beliefs going forward, and then who are the partners out there and how would they play a role in this.
The next meeting of both the Committee of the Whole and the RDA is July the 6th. Recommendations may be forthcoming from that meeting, the full council, to consider that aspect July the 18th. After that almost two-hour presentation, that is a chance for some questions to be asked. Alderman Jim Morgenroth flat out wondering about Racine County joining as a partner investor, suggesting even the city administrator set up a meeting with the county executive. Veteran Alderman Rady Hahn wondering if the numbers were solid. Alderman John Tate II interested in the residual impact on surrounding neighborhoods.
As we kind of use the Allentown study as a case study, or what, I'm curious, how did that affect the surrounding residential areas? We have a whole lot, and we're putting a whole lot of effort into the downtown area. We do have additional commercial areas that we're trying to build out, and also a whole lot of residential areas that have been blighted and are suffering. So I'm just curious, what impact did that have for the other areas that were surrounding the outside of the downtown area?
Alderman Sandy Widener asking most of the questions, tossed in a what if the cost just skyrocketed. Council President Dennis Weiser noting that they're not going to be moving forward on any of this until they're completely comfortable. Again, another Committee of the Whole RDA meeting on July the 6th. A contract with Founders 3, the former Siegel Gallagher Management Company, to conduct a facilities and space use study for Racine County, okayed by the county board last night. The president of Founders 3 is John Matheson, who said it's going to be a very comprehensive study. All the facilities used by the county that'll be valuable going forward for quite a few years.
The study will not only analyze the use that county's performing with regard to the departments, but also as it relates to your facilities and projecting needs, current needs as well as projected needs, then a cost analysis based on owning versus leasing, providing options.
That $157,000 study, according to Matheson, has the potential to save the county a lot of money. Kenosha Unified School Board is going to be asking the U.S. Supreme Court to decide whether it can legally bar transgender students from using the bathroom of their gender identities. The board planning to appeal unfavorable rulings in a case involving Ash Whitaker, who's graduated from Tremper High School and happened earlier this month. The legal issues that sparked Whitaker's successful lawsuit against the district remain. And without referring to the suit per se, board member Gary Kunich last night said he's looking for definitive guidance.
I really do think it is important to let this get settled finally once and for all.
Gail Clark Taylor, a retired school counselor, says the district ought to be more concerned about the welfare of its transgender students, some of whom, she says, are having a tough time.
I think that we will end up with a lot of blood on our hands because we are creating a hostile learning environment for students.
The nation's highest court yet to rule on the constitutional issues raised in the Whitaker versus Kenosha Unified case. Kenosha Alderman Kevin Matheson resigned from office Tuesday afternoon. It was a few days ahead of schedule, but he said he was going to do it. He and his family just about completely moved now into their new home in Summers. Matheson was first elected to the council back in 2012. He submitted his letter of resignation yesterday, indicated he had planned to do it at the council meeting next Monday night, but that was canceled. And the Downtown Racine Corporation will be getting a new executive director soon. Devin Sutherland scheduled to leave July the 28th after 14 years at the helm. He's going back to school, starting at Carthage College, the school's new Master of Science degree program in business design and innovation. A transition team will be involved in the search for a replacement for Sutherland, the job description on the DRC website. The family of that missing endangered Racine County woman now offering a $10,000 reward for her return. 59-year-old Lynn Rickard of Kansasville has not been seen since early Sunday morning, having walked away from home without her oxygen tank. She may also be just in pajamas or wearing no clothes at all. In addition, Rickard has an unspecified mental health illness. The search has included ground coverage with canines and searches through the air with drones and helicopters. It's been concentrated so far in the Kansasville, Union Grove, and Dover areas. It's a new mobile medical unit operated by the Kenosha Community Health Center, and it's going to be stopping three times a week in Racine in medically underserved areas, officially going into service on Tuesday, a ribbon-cutting ceremony outside of Knapp School. Mary Coffey, chief executive of the Kenosha Community Health Center, naming all the partners who helped to make the mobile unit possible, said here today collectively, "We build a better community."
What began for KCHC, reaching out to a neighbor in need, marked by basic principles of friendship and cooperation, has turned into a community outpouring of gifts, both financial and service-related. Projects such as the mobile unit are truly moments of truth when we define who we are and what we value. It's apparent Racine and its partners value health and its citizens.
The mobile medical unit to be at Knapp School on Tuesdays, Gateway Technical College's Racine campus on Wednesdays, and the Dr. John Bryant Community Center on Thursdays, all from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. City of Racine's new cart collection for solid waste, that's going to begin September the 18th. But a program for bulky waste items, the stuff that doesn't fit in the carts, as well as green waste like grass clippings and garden remnants and the like, well, that's still undecided. Public Works Director Mark Yellen's revised proposal is two free bulky waste pickups, three drop-off sites starting this year, Pearl Street for 52 weeks out of the year, and five options for green waste, including a drop-off at those three sites or buying a separate 65-gallon cart for that pickup in a May to September program requiring sign-up, all to begin in 2018.
You know, we looked at what other folks do. There's cities that basically have bag systems. We recommend that whatever if we do collections, that they be machine collected with carts, so our people aren't picking up either bags or bags of green waste. That's one of the big things. We're trying to avoid worker injuries.
Alderman Sandy Widener said this ought to be deferred because it's vastly different than what she was given by DPW to tell her constituents last year when this process began.
Last fall, when there were all these public outreach meetings regarding changing to a semi-automated system, the discussion about bulky waste came up, and we were told there would be four pickups a year, that anything that you could fit in your cart, including what we're now calling green waste, or whatever the new term is, that if you could fit it in your cart, it would go. other communities have the pickup along with their carting system.
While deferring the issue for 2 weeks, the committee members indicated that they want to hear from the citizens of Racine about what is being proposed. Contact them, the alderman, the Public Works Department, or respond on the city's website. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section, and throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.